You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday, July 17th. It is time for a Creation Club with Pastor Worth. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Friday. Happy Creation Club Day.
And to you as well.
And happy really, really hot day.
Well, we may not be quite as happy, but we'll take it. The Lord has made the changing of the season, so we'll get through this one, too, with the Lord's help. Thank the Lord for air conditioning and the comforts that we enjoy that people didn't always have.
Indeed, indeed. Well, we have an announcement for Creation Club this morning, right?
We certainly do. We would like to help spread the word that there is a free Answers Conference that is planned for Sunday, August 2nd and Monday, August 3rd. It will be at Gateway Christian Church, 1951 DePere Road in St. Louis, Missouri. The speaker, it will be from Answers in Genesis, Dr. Tommy Mitchell. He's got a degree in cell biology and biochemistry. He has a doctorate in medicine from Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. He had a thriving medical practice in Tennessee for 20 years, and now he's full-time with Answers in Genesis, and he's a very competent speaker, interesting to listen to, and he will be talking on several subjects on Sunday morning in the, I presume it's in a worship service at Gateway Christian Church. He'll be talking about Genesis and the authority of Scripture, and that's either a two-part, or maybe it's just one part repeated. That's probably what it is. If they have two services at 9 and 10:30, probably the same thing, one at 9 and one at 10:30. In the evening, for those of our good Lutheran listeners who will be in their own churches on Sunday morning, but would like to hear him speak, Sunday evening at 6, he'll be talking about why can't a day mean a day, so talking about the 6 days of creation as real, natural days, not some great, vast time periods. And then at 7:30, he'll be talking about Noah's Ark and the global flood. Then on Monday, August 3rd, at 9:30 in the morning, he'll be talking about where were there dinosaurs on Noah's Ark, and that's directed particularly at children from kindergarten through sixth grade. So that's often a question people ask. Were there dinosaurs on the Ark? Have your children come and sit with them and listen to his answer Monday morning. And then at 11 a.m. on Monday, he'll be saying After Their Kind. Again, that's directed for grades 7 through 12. So 7 through 12th graders, After Their Kind, talking about how everything still reproduces after its own kind, just as God said in Genesis. Then Monday evening at 6 p.m., Jurassic Prank, A Dinosaur Tale. I don't know what that's all about, but it's certainly intriguing to listen to. And I encourage people to hear that. And at 7:30 on Monday, August 3rd, Worshiping the Creator God. So Sunday, August 2nd, Monday, August 3rd at Gateway Christian Church, 1951 DePere Road, St. Louis, Missouri. For more information, you can call 314-821-2156. That's 314-821-2156. They also have a website. It's answersoutreach.org/stlewis15. Hopefully people will take advantage of that. It's free and should be very good.
I highly recommend, if you are going to that, maybe use GPS to find it. It's on DePere Road is like a service road. It runs parallel to I-270, but it's kind of tricky to get to from Manchester Road and that big loop there. If you know the St. Louis area, you know that area at all. It's a little tricky to get to that road, either from Clayton Road or from Manchester Road. But
they need to plan ahead.
Right.
Use your GPS or a good map and plan ahead to get there. But it should be very good, very interesting. I want to also say a word for those who are listening who are not in the St. Louis area and may sometimes get bored with these announcements about things in the St. Louis area. There's always a tie-in to things that you can find wherever you are. If you go to answersingenesis.org, you can find out more about all of these topics and about the speaker. And also you can find out how you can schedule a speaker to come to where you live. Whether Dr. Mitchell or Dr. Menton or Ken Ham, Andrew Snelling, Danny Faulkner, there's lots of expert speakers from Answers in Genesis who would love to come to your community and bring the good news of Jesus Christ as it ties into the Bible and questions of creation, the flood, that sort of thing. And these people are excellent speakers, and they would love to come to where you are, too. And if you're not able to get a speaker, again, they have DVDs and books and lots of helpful resources.
And if I'll extend an invitation, if you have one of these speakers from Answers in Genesis coming to your community and you want to share it with our listeners, send me an email. You can send it to me, andrew.bates@kfuo.org. I'd be glad to. We can share it here in Creation Club.
We would be happy to do that.
Yeah, that would be. We'd be happy to share it with our listeners so that folks in your area can know about one of these speakers coming to your community. All right, what's our topic for today?
Today, the big news this whole last couple of weeks has been about Pluto and the mission that we had, the probe that flew past Pluto, and all the amazing photos that they've got and so forth. And so maybe just a few thoughts about Pluto as we talk about these things on Creation Club today. First of all, let's acknowledge it's an amazing accomplishment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, isn't it wonderful that God has given human beings the reason and their senses to figure this kind of stuff out so that they could not only build a spacecraft and launch a space probe, but know the mathematics of the orbits of the planets around the sun and so forth to calculate how to send a probe that far, where they say 3 billion miles it went, and it took over nine and a half years to get to its destination. And then the probe arrived within 72 seconds of its predicted time. I mean, that is totally amazing. And yet, you know, it's even more amazing that a God could create us to be able to do such a thing, that there is a God who created the universe, including the sun and its solar system, and keeps all the celestial bodies in their proper orbits, and that things work with this mathematical precision, and given us the ability to reflect on that, to think about that, to figure things out. You know, so if human beings can be so great as to accomplish such an amazing thing, how much greater must be the one who made us? You know, certainly if you looked at the space probe that they sent, this New Horizons space probe, they said it's about the size of a Steinway piano, and it's got all these amazing instruments on it to take pictures and look for spectral images of things so they can kind of analyze the chemistry and some of this stuff. It's amazing, the instruments and so forth, but no one who would find that would say, well, it just happened over millions and billions of years by accident. Well, if a space probe with its instruments and sensors is an amazing thing, how much more are all the things that God has made? How much more, when you look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, and life, every living thing from the smallest microbe up to human beings, to great whales and the dinosaurs and so forth. You know, the one who made all of these things must be that much greater, that much wiser, that much more powerful than the wisest and most powerful human beings. So as we stand in awe of the human accomplishment of sending a space probe that far away and communicating with it long distance and receiving these pictures back, you know, we should reflect on the fact that it's again points to intelligent design. And if there's an intelligent designer who could build a space probe and launch a rocket and hit a target or fly past a target that far away, how much greater is the God who created us, gave us our bodies and souls, eyes, ears, and all our members, our reason and all our senses, and still takes care of them, right? So, again, I think as we and think about math and physics, that we're able to discover these things and see that the universe is orderly, all of that, again, points to an orderly God, that there are laws of nature, you know, points to the fact there is a lawgiver. All of these things point to the reality of God. To be an atheist or an agnostic and act as if there's no God, and to make ourselves gods and marvel at how great our accomplishments are, is the height of folly. You know, a fool has said in his heart there is no God. Instead, when we look at human accomplishments, we have to realize that they're puny in comparison to our Creator, who's wise and intelligent and powerful and loving, and who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. That's the most amazing thing of all, isn't it? Continuing on Pluto, if I may just do so, another thing is the pictures. If you've been looking at the pictures, they've been really excited about the pictures. Now, if you're not an astronomer or a geologist, as I am not, You may not be as excited about these photos as they are, because you look at them and say, well, it looks like a kind of a barren planet to me, not all that exciting. But they're excited because they're seeing things they didn't anticipate. Icy mountains, what did they say, 11,000 feet high, they're estimating them to be, and canyons, and some of the canyons on one of the moons of Pluto appear to be, you know, several miles deep, and you know, they're wondering at what are the forces that formed these mountains and canyons. They're marveling that there aren't as many craters, impact craters, as they would have expected. And so they're, in their evolutionary way of thinking, they're thinking, well, then the surface must be younger than they thought it was. And since they believe that the solar system is billions of years old, they think that there must be forces that were at work on the surface, reshaping the surface of Pluto more recently, perhaps as recently as 100 million years ago. That's some of the current quick off-the-cuff statements by some of these scientists who are looking at these things. They'll have to be studying this a lot and thinking about it a lot. Now, we don't believe the millions and billions of years stuff. We believe what the Bible says. We believe in a six-day creation. We believe in a young universe that God made according to his own word. And yet, you know, there are Bible-believing geologists and Bible-believing astronomers and so forth that will also be studying these pictures and contemplating what kinds of forces could be working there and what that means in terms of, you know, God's creative activity, even as we've studied the things in Mars. You know, if you listen to Dr. Danny Faulkner and Andrew Snelling and people like that who are Bible-believing scientists that work with the Answers in Genesis Ministry and Creation Museum, and they have wonderful things to say about these things. You know, we would acknowledge, too, it looks like on Mars there had been a lot more water than there is now. So it makes us wonder, too, what happened to the water?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us, we believe God made whatever was there, and he made it in the time that he said he did. So we don't have to believe millions and billions of years still to marvel at this and say, isn't it interesting to see what looks like, you know, what had been river systems and lakes, and now the water's all gone. What happened? And likewise, as you look at Mars, you say, wow, look at those mountains, look at those craters and those canyons. You know, what forces were at work doing that? And it's not sinful to think about such things. But always we want to come back to the Bible as the final authority on it, and God is the one who did it all. And I think here's something that is meaningful to me as I think about all these things. So scientists are having to rethink everything they thought they knew about Pluto, and they're saying that, you know, they're not only rewriting the textbooks, they're starting over from scratch. And I think that should say something about that scientists need a healthy dose of humility. How many times we're told, we know this and we know that, and yet time after time we see that they're wrong. And something they were sure they knew, all of a sudden they say, well, that was completely wrong, let's start over and think about something else. That's how science works. But when it comes to evolution, they refuse to acknowledge that they could be wrong about that. When they say, we know we evolved over millions and billions of years, they don't really know that at all. And it's the height of pride and arrogance to act that way. And they should realize that this whole scientific endeavor needs a certain amount of humility to realize you have ideas, you test them out, and then it may be something you thought you knew. You find out later it wasn't true, and that's certainly the case with Pluto. They're finding out that the size was somewhat different than they thought it was, the surface is different than they thought it was. There's a lot of stuff they're still asking about. And particularly as they look at exoplanets, the planets outside of our solar system, what amazing things people tell us they know about these things that they have not even seen. So if you've been following this whole Pluto mission, you know, it's amazing, you know, what the Pluto was not even discovered till what, 1930? And then I saw a thing online from the Washington Post, I think it was, where they had kind of a series of the images that we had and put dates to them. They did not have good pictures of Pluto. I mean, the best pictures we've had are right now because we finally were able to send a space probe out there. Before that, even with the Hubble telescope, the images were really, really poor. They were just little blobs, and there was a lot of things they had to infer from those little blobs. Well, if that's true of an object in our own solar system, by what stretch of the imagination can they make these bold pronouncements about exoplanets, that is, planets orbiting other stars far away from our own sun when they have not even seen them. They're not resolved even with the most powerful telescopes we have. They do not have the ability to resolve them into even a little disk in their field of view. They're just a point of light. And they're inferring things from dimming and stuff like this. When you're talking about something that distant, again, once again, there's a lot of speculation, a lot of human imagination and wishful thinking based on very little data. And I think that that's something that our listeners need to take into account. And very often people are misled because they see an artist's picture of something, and they assume it's a photograph, and it isn't, you know, or based on photographs, and it isn't at all. It's somebody's imagination working overtime. One more thing on Pluto. Dr. Danny Faulkner has
just
an article
about 20 seconds, Pastor.
Okay.
Sorry.
Dr. Danny Faulkner, is Pluto a planet? You can follow it, find it at answersingenesis.org. An interesting article. Please read that article and then look forward to hearing from him as he will finally have commentary on this Pluto stuff when he has the opportunity to examine it himself.
And don't forget, Creation Museum is where the Lutherans for Life conference will be this year as well.
All about life, and especially the life we have in Jesus Christ, our Creator and Redeemer.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Wirth.
God's blessings.
Talk to you next week.
Very good.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer on Worldwide KFUO.